Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. At the Christmas season, when we consider the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we could not do better than read the majestic words of Isaiah the prophet in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7. Here is what Isaiah tells us of that incarnation. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken to us in two ways. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We see immediately the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ becoming very man and very God, or very God and very man. He was a true man and he was truly God. Unto us a child is born. This concerns his humanity. But unto us a son is given. This concerns his deity. He was always the eternal son of the eternal father. And this language is meticulously accurate. As a son, he was born. As a son, he was given. As a child, he was born. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and we want to speak of the wonder of his birth, the glory of his birth, the reason why he was born. And then we want to speak of what we have in Christ by reason of the fact that God has given to us his Son. Let's think of the message of Gabriel to the Virgin Mary as recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I'm not going to read all of these, I'm going to narrate it, rather. He told her that she should conceive in her womb a baby that was to be named Jesus, and God would give to him the throne of his father David, and he would reign forever and ever. Mary objected immediately. She says, "How can this be? I don't know a man." And then the angel Gabriel told her, "You will have that baby conceived in your womb by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and you will bear that child." And she accepted the responsibility, and Gabriel went his way. And he was born, he took upon himself human flesh. It was not a matter with our Lord Jesus of a man becoming God. It was a matter of God becoming man. And if God wants to become a man, who is going to tell him that he cannot do it? And then the wonder of his birth, I think, is expressed in Matthew chapter 1, where we read there, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." You know, that language never needed to be said of any other birth than his. We know how people are born, but this birth was different. The manner of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was different. It was unique. He was the unique Son of God, and that was the wonder. That adds to the wonder of his birth. Now, the glory of his birth is brought before us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word of God was made flesh," his incarnation, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ became incarnate that he might reveal the glory of God to you and me, so that we might see it and handle it. John, in his first epistle, speaks of handling that. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." majestic language indeed he refers to the Christ. And this is certainly the wonder of his birth. And then there's another verse that we might read in John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. I think I'll just narrate them. Philip came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And the Lord Jesus says, "Philip, have I been so long time with you and you've not seen the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He was the perfect expression of God. Now, let's go on after we have considered the wonder of his birth and the glory of his birth, the reason for his birth. The Lord expressed it himself, I think, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his mission. That entailed the cross. He's come into the world. That's his incarnation. And he died on that cross for your sins and for mine. As God, he couldn't die. But as man, he died for your sins and for my sins on that cross. And certainly that is the glory of his birth. But now, the reason for his birth, as we've read there in Matthew 19 and 10, we have there, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." Did you notice when I was reading that this is all monosyllable words? One syllable words. Not a single multiple syllable word in the whole verse. So simply couched and so majestic in all its implications. Now he became a man that he might furnish us an example. We read in John chapter 13, verses 13 and to 15, "He called me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." 1 Peter 2:21 tells us there, Peter writing, "For even hereunto were ye called," that is to the experience of suffering. Peter's talking, says much about suffering. And he's talking to them about their sufferings. And then he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." He committed his soul to the Father, and we may do the same in our sufferings. Then he came to teach us the ways of God. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus recognized him immediately as a teacher. And then the Lord gave Nicodemus a lesson that he'll never forget. The lesson how to be born again. You and I were born into God's and man's family. Now we have to be born into God's family by the power of the Spirit of God. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. "And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the seas. And he taught them many things by parables." This is a different setting. This is not a night scene like Nicodemus. This is all on the seashore, where the multitudes came to hear him. Mark 6 and 2. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? Yes, he taught in the synagogue." Mark 12:35 tells us that he taught in the temple. He was a great teacher. He had a message for you and for me. He wanted to tell us about his Father and how we could be saved through him. Now to the last part. "Unto us a Son is given." We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." As a son, he was given. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son up to die on the cross for you and for me, that we might indeed have eternal life through him. God gave us his Son, and when he gave us his Son, he gave us everything. Let's examine and see what we have in that Son. We read in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. The Lord Jesus himself is the speaker. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right? Here's the first thing. Eternal life. His life. I give unto them eternal life. That's what we have in Christ. This is a package deal. When we made the Lord Jesus Christ our own, we received eternal life. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's not a matter of having religion, good intentions, high hopes. It's a matter of having Christ. Life is comes through acceptance of Christ, believing that he died for us on the cross, telling him, Lord, you gave all you had for me. You died for my sins on that cross. I want you. I want you for my own. I want you for my Savior. It's a matter of just telling him, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then we receive the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13, 14, who, and Christ, of course, is the subject, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God the Father has done that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then we read in chapter 1, the same chapter, Colossians, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now here in this first chapter of Colossians, we have the forgiveness of sins, we have peace. And then Peter speaks in the first chapter of his first epistle, verse 8, whom, Christ is the subject of course, having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the joy that comes with the knowledge of salvation. I know I'm going to heaven, not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it, but because God loved me, gave his Son to die for me, and he gives me eternal life. And that brings joy unspeakable. There is no other experience like knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're going to heaven. By God's word, God tells us that he is forgiven our sins. God tells us in his word that Christ died for us. Do we want more proof than that? His word? At this Christmas season, let's return a gift to God, our faith, our love, our admiration for him who loved us and died for us, our Father today. Help us to appreciate the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us more and more in his name. Amen.